Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game all season long, kicking off with a juicy Week 6 matchup between the Cleveland Browns and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. We'll touch on the NFL and your Pittsburgh Steelers with our sports director, Jeff Hathorne, in a moment. But tonight, the puck drops on Evgeny Malkin's final season. Mike Sullivan v. Dan Muse from the world's most famous arena, 8 p.m. this evening. Jeff Hathorne's with us now. Good morning to you, Jeff. How are we doing today?
The hell is it with opening these seasons in New York?
I know. How about Justin Fields being 0-5 and Russell Wilson getting benched, Jeff?
Yeah, that's probably could have seen that coming a little bit. Yeah, but this is an interesting matchup with Sullivan. I know he said the other day, I haven't really thought about it. I'm like, yeah, you have. Yeah, you have. And what I did think he was sincere about is he'll have some mixed emotions. Obviously, he wants his team to win. But, I mean, when you win a title and you coach a legendary player like Sid and two other guys that are probably Hall of Famers as well, going to be Hall of Famers in Chris Letang and Evgeny Malkin. Like, you develop a bond with those guys. Maybe not with what's going on in the front office, and that kind of fuels you to try to stomp the Penguins. But, yeah, there's going to be some emotions. It was funny because you guys talked to Carlson, and he talked after practice yesterday, and it's like, if there's one guy that probably wants to stick it to Mike Sullivan, Erik Karlsson would probably be high on that list.
Jeff, do you think this Penguins team has potential to be too good this year? Do you think they have the potential to actually do something that we probably don't want to see them doing, but maybe at the time we will want to see them do it and be too good?
I mean, I think they would have to have help from other teams. I mean, we've already seen a huge injury in Florida. Like, there would have to be things like that happen. Obviously, the Pens would have to overachieve. Yeah, there's a chance because Crosby's still playing at a high level, and if you keep a Raquel's coming off a 35-goal season, and when Brian Rust gets healthy, like, that's a legit one line. And if you could place together a two line, and then what if Ben Kindle is going to stay with the team the entire year, which I don't expect, but what if he does and he becomes this revelation as a rookie on the third line, and now you're rolling a little bit, you're playing a little defensive system, you don't have Graves, some of the other guys pick it up. Yeah, there is a chance. I mean, I don't expect anything top end, but I think to your point, like, what if they're like 20th or something like that? Like, that's not where you want to be right now with this franchise. I mean, you want to be picking high.
Yep.
Jeff Hathorne, our sports director, joining us on the Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. I agree with you. I don't think Kindle's going to be up for more than 9 games. But if he flashes, if he plays well in these 9, I wouldn't hesitate at all about keeping him in the NHL. I know it's a goofy rule. He'd have to go play against boys instead of men in the AHL. I do think Brunick's going to stay here the entire season, Jeff. I mean, we talked to Carlson about him yesterday, and he seems to think he's going to do some great things. Do you agree with that? And I'll add a third guy, Murashov, the goaltender. Do you think he's going to get substantial time in the NHL this season?
Well, we'll start with Murashov. I think he's the future in net, but I think they wanted to get him steady runs. So until they make a move with Jari, which is, I think it's going to happen at some point, He's going to be in the AHL, and unfortunately Blomqvist suffered the injury, so he's not available to be the other goalie. But I think that's, with him, I think you're right. I think Brunick has played the better of the two. He has been more consistent. He has looked ready for the NHL. And with Ben, I mean, Ben's just really come on the last week or so. Like his game has really taken him to the next step. And I guess there's always that thought, well, if that next step continues and he shows he can play against, NHL players in a regular season basis, there's always that outside chance. Listen, would you rather have this guy get an experience? Yes. I mean, I'm glad that they've made a couple of moves with veterans. And if they have to make another one, it's about the future, not exactly right now for this hockey franchise.
Jeff, what only one starter for the Steelers sat out in practice yesterday? That was Jalen Ramsey. Everybody else was back, I think.
Well, I mean, Calvin Austin was unable to go.
Calvin Austin too, yeah.
That was a I don't think that was a surprise. We talked to him, and it's like, Dorn, you know how this is. I mean, you work your whole offseason. You're going to get that shot. You missed your whole rookie year. You have that big first game. You catch the game-winning touchdown in the third game. And then the fourth game, you're dealing with an injury. And it's a contract year for him. Now, he did not bring that up, but that's the reality of it. And that's – I feel for Calvin. But Joey's going to be back, and there's a chance Alex Highsmith's going to be back. Highsmith's going to go through team drills on Wednesday and Thursday is what he told us, and then we'll kind of see from there. But I'm kind of anxious to see this. We talk about all the different packages for the secondary. What's that three linebacker set going to look like? Mm. Put all three of those guys, because they do have a package like that.
Let's stay there, because – thinking about this game on Sunday, if there's an area where I think the Browns can be had, I don't like their left tackle situation. And Nick Herbig, through this point in the season, arguably their best pass rusher. Not better than Watt, maybe not better than Cam Hayward, but rushing the passer. Do you think you maybe work Highsmith in slow, Jeff?
Yeah, I think there's more of a split for his first time back, at least. But again, I do think that this three linebacker package is something whether you have Herbig roam around the middle and find a gap and shoot through it, whether, you move Alex around. I don't think it would be TJ as much, because TJ kind of likes where he's at. Not that it would never happen. Especially without Ramsey, most likely for however long, now you can bring up something a little bit different with the linebackers that could really keep offenses guessing. And you're facing two offenses here, on Sunday and Thursday that have struggled.
Jeff, going back to what you said about Calvin Austin, and, he misses his rookie year. This is a contract year. He's banged up this year, in training camp, and then now, obviously, he's going to miss some games. Can somebody like Roman Wilson, who is basically dealing with the same trajectory of Calvin Austin, can he take advantage of that? Will he get the opportunities to take advantage of Calvin Austin being out these next two games?
Whatever opportunity he gets, he needs to take advantage of. That's basically what his coach was saying last week, his position coach, Zach Azzani, is that he's going to get a chance. And when he does, he needs to grasp it. Now, this just looks like it's going to be his chance. You like Skoranek as a receiver at times. Scotty Miller can be a situational guy. The only thing I would say with this is, when you think about Cleveland's pass rush and physicality, this might be a game more for Skoranek and three tight ends than you would typically have. So I don't know if number two is going to be as much of a play in this one as it might be in Cincinnati. So you might look at the end of this game and say, man, Roman only got 12 snaps. But that might just be more situational as to what they're trying to do against really physical defense.
I was talking to a Cleveland friend who is in the game the other day, and the Browns love their nickel package. Like, they want to play nickel 90% of the game if they can, if not more than that. Beef up, extra offensive linemen, the tight ends like you're saying, Jeff, and then turn around and hand the ball off. And when they do, how much of that is going to be Kenneth Gainwell? Jaylen Warren came back to practice yesterday. How much of that is going to be him? And at what point do we get more Caleb Johnson? I was encouraged by what we saw in Dublin, but still the volume not quite there for the youngster.
No, and I mean, he's going to continue to work in slow. I mean, listen, Gainwell is a guy who's very versatile. And, you know, we talk about number two options. I think Gainwell could be a guy you could put in the same in the game with Warren, but you split Gainwell out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he could play in that slot area. Not that you want to put him out there a ton, but he's a guy who can do that for a different look. I mean, I think really they're going to ride the hot hand. So if Jalen comes in, he's struggling a little bit, but Gainwell's running it, I think you're going to see him get more carries. Like, I think it really is a feel thing for these guys. And, you know, if they bring Caleb in for a snap or two or for a series, and all of a sudden he's rolling a little bit, yeah, they're going to give him opportunities. I mean, listen, there's what happened in that kickoff. But you're not going to bench the guy forever. You drafted him in the third round. At some point, you know, they felt like he a little bit took advantage of that series he got in Ireland. And if he keeps building off that, I mean, this is what they wanted, right? You wanted a three-headed monster. You wanted the ability to play the hot hand. And I do think they will do that once they feel like everybody's kind of at equal footing.
Jeff, what do you think is more of a disappointment this year in college football, Arch Manning or Penn State?
Oh.
Wow.
They're going to play in the ReliaQuest Bowl, Jeff, like we all thought.
How about both those teams were ranked two, ranked second, and both are out of the top 25?
That's insane.
I mean, I can't personally vouch for the pressure in Texas, but I'm sure that pressure is coming down hard on Arch right now and the entire team. I mean, they spend a lot of money down there not to be out of the top 25 with those expectations. I mean, Arch singularly, because he's hurting at least the start of his NFL career, whenever that might be. But man, that UCLA game, it's just, that was brutal on it. Listen, how as a coaching staff do you not have your team ready?
Man.
That's the way I look at it.
Against a team without a coaching staff. Right. And I can't imagine a more miserable watch in maybe the history of collegiate sport than that, because you had Rick Neuheisel. They had him on for a full 10 minutes talking about his son, then they kept cutting to him celebrating.
Yes. Yeah.
Just absolutely torturous for Penn State fans.
And going against, I think he's, Jim Knowles is the highest paid assistant in the game.
Yep. Maybe ever, I think.
Who's coming off winning a national championship, and he has a long resume. But this will not be on it. I mean, that was to get out-coached by a guy in his first game. It was brutal.
Jeff, this was wonderful. It always is. We hit on a lot of things. We appreciate it, and we'll talk to you on Thursday.
Here we go. Let's go. Let's go with the little hockey. Come on, boys.
Just beat Sully tonight.
Yeah, I think they will.
I friggin' hate the Rangers. I almost swore there.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks, boys.
Oh, Jeff is the best. You can text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. You know what's up next for Texas and Arch Manning? No big deal, just the Red River rivalry.
Oh, great.
Just got to take on a top five Oklahoma team that I think might be the best defense in all of college football.
At least their schedule was tougher than Penn State's. I will give Arch Manning that. In Texas, that.
Yeah, they did have to go to the Swamp, and they did start off with Ohio State.
I mean, compared to...
Meanwhile, Penn State played three nobodies and then lost to the only two P4 teams they played. Speaking of looking ahead at the schedule, didn't realize this. Texter alerted me to it. So the Chiefs now at 2-3. Guess who they have next week in primetime? Just the Detroit Lions.
Oh.
No big deal.
Oh, man.
No big deal. Could be sitting Where's there at 2-4. It's at Arrowhead. You know they'll win. They'll win. They do this crap all the time.
Oh, man.
But if they don't, food for thought. Much to react to from Jeff there. Penguins, Steelers, college football. We'll fit it all in before a very special Brown Steelers version of trivia with Are You Smarter Than a Plumber in Salsa?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you
what
know why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Jake
on second down, picked off. Lloyd again. Devin Lloyd, what a year! Still rolling down the sideline, one man to beat. Lloyd, pick six.
When I hear Lloyd, I just think of Entourage. Lloyd, you ever seen Entourage?
No.
You're kidding me.
No, I tried watching like one episode, couldn't get into it.
What? Oh, that is so up your alley.
Couldn't get into it.
Oh, it's so funny. Inappropriate. What scantily clad women.
Isn't it about like Mark Wahlberg? His life?
I think it kind of is based off of him, yeah. Yeah.
What are they like? His agents and like
yeah.
his peoples?
His entourage.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Jeremy Piven, right?
Oh, he's so good.
Is he the agent?
He is.
Okay.
He's elite in that show. Anything else he's ever been in, I can't separate him from Ari Gold. It's one of the great characters in television history. It's an easy one to binge and fall asleep and pick right up, and you don't really miss any of the storyline, and you laugh. And I suggest you watch it probably in November because you only watch Halloween things in sports.
Yeah,
in
I've been watching Ed Gein.
What the hell is that?
Ed Gein.
The serial killer one.
Yeah.
I've been told that's a sick, twisted... Is it a documentary or is it one of those?
Like the monster, like the, you know, they have like Charlie Hunnam who played in Sons of Anarchy. He plays Ed Gein.
Okay. And that's a series where they'll do different serial killers, right?
Yes.
Yeah, my parents are way into
that.
Yeah,
like Dahmer, they did that before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I should
watch Ed Gein.
I might do that. I like that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But then I worry about walking across the parking lot in the morning.
This is a rough watch.
We'll just arrive together. Even though you scared me today, because
yeah.
that's what you do in October,
mm-hmm.
which sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Texter, hey Crowley, is that a boy's size large hockey jersey? I don't know. I'll have Doran look at the tag during the break. We were just thinking during the break, we talked about it at the end of the last segment, Chiefs, they have a shot to be 2-4. Meanwhile, the Ravens are more than likely going to be 1-5 after playing the Rams. With Lamar, without Lamar, I don't think they'll have Lamar, but that defense is atrocious. You might get a few people back this week, but their defense was bad when it was healthy earlier this season. So the two AFC favorites in addition to the Bills just lost, could be 2-4, losing to Detroit. That's who KC's got, Sunday Night Football, and losing to the Rams. And the Steelers could be sitting pretty at 4-1 with an inside track to be 5-1. And I said earlier, I didn't want to get too ahead of myself. Pompeiani said yesterday he thinks they could get the number one seed and he thinks they could win two playoff games, the Steelers. I'm not going to go that far. However, I think about the seeding in the AFC. The AFC North is the worst division in football.
Yes.
And the South is all of a sudden competitive. Houston hasn't been as good as we thought they were going to be, but maybe that's what wakes them up, that huge victory over Baltimore. You've got Trevor Lawrence and the Jags, and you got Indianapolis running the football with Jonathan Taylor, and top to bottom, I think that's a good roster. They might beat up on each other. Houston could pick them off. That's a more competitive division. The West is competitive with the Broncos and the Chiefs. I think the Bills will probably still win the number one seed. Because like the Patriots are good and they get an easy schedule. I still think Buffalo's a better team. And you got a better quarterback. I mean, he's the best in the world right now, I think.
Let's look at their schedule.
It's tougher. It's tougher. Like the next five
they
games.
They just don't have anybody. Like
their roster's bad.
It is not that good.
Mm-mm.
Like there's like two guys on their offense that you would take on your team as a starter.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of obviously Josh Allen. You would take Cook at the running back position. You'd probably take Dalton Kincaid at tight end.
And I think Ed Oliver's a good player on the D-line.
Yeah, yeah, I was saying offense. Oh, okay. Defense, you just got one guy. Ed Oliver.
And the bones of Bosa. The Chiefs got Detroit next, then Vegas, which, okay, everyone's whooping up on them.
And then the Bills.
But then they got Washington, Buffalo, Denver, Indianapolis. Look, the Steelers got to take care of business these next 2 weeks. You got to go 5-1 in the division, man. Split with Baltimore, sweep the Browns, sweep the Bengals. Those teams are that bad, and you don't bring Aaron Rodgers, DK Metcalf in here, and all the pieces, Jalen Ramsey, Darius Slay, I'm just naming guys now. You don't bring all them dudes in to not take advantage of this situation. You don't look a gift horse in the mouth. Kansas City could be in trouble. That schedule's brutal. You're playing, I think, the best team in football this week in Detroit. At least they've been that so far. You could be sitting there at 2-4. The Ravens are going to be 1-5. Buffalo doesn't look infallible. Go 5-1 in your division and see if you can make some hay here. But that, to me, is non-negotiable. In these next two games, if the Steelers lose either of these games with the state of the AFC right now, we know heads won't roll, but they should.
Mm-hmm.
You have to win these next two games. You have to. I don't care what it looks like. I said blow them out. I don't need that anymore.
No.
You win these next two games. They're division games. It doesn't matter if they're ugly. Hell, Green Bay just lost to the Browns. The Vikings almost lost to the Browns. The Steelers don't win on the road on Thursdays in the division. So I don't really care. Just win them. Get to 5-1.
And they need to come out healthy, too, because the bye week's done. And it's a long season. I mean, you have a little short bye after Cincinnati. You got a couple days off, but it is apparent. You know, it is important for you to get out of those games healthy, too.
I think the bye being as early as it is might be a fatal flaw on this year's team because of the age. And we've talked about it before, too. The rookie wall is a real thing. So you got some young guys that you're counting on, like Derek Harmon, Y.A. Black. And then you've got old guys who, I mean, you're going to have to play 12 consecutive games.
Well, with Derek Harmon's case, like as weird as it sounds, he has had some time off.
Good point.
He hasn't had that, you know, week in and week out kind of physical, taxing football being played. So that may aid in his direction for the rookie wall. But, you know, guys like Y.A. Black who have played a lot,
mm-hmm.
you know, it could be tough.
Little fade, little rookie wall. Dorn, I'm scared.
Why?
I don't think the Steelers are, like, good, but I don't know that anybody in the AFC is good, except for the way Indianapolis is playing right now. It's got me believing.
Have they played better football than the teams that are in the AFC? That's all that matters.
All but Indianapolis, I'd say they're right. I mean, they're right there in the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a negative point differential, but they've been scoring early. They've been good in the red zone. They've won the turnover battle. I think those are all things that they were counting on, and all things that can continue.
I think they have so much room to get better. That's why I feel good.
And I'm sure you could make the argument for Kansas City, and shoot, Baltimore, they got a lot of room to get better. But math also works against you.
And injuries.
And if Kansas City starts 2-4, I'm telling you, I'm starting to worry about my expectation level with these Pittsburgh Steelers. We're going to do a little trivia coming up next with Southside Jake. He says, very special Steelers-Browns edition of Are You Smarter Than a Play?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Southside Jake joins us now. He was digging a trench in my father's front yard yesterday.
Oh.
He and his crew. Jake does a wonderful job. Jake, also a closet Browns fan, and he's got some Steelers-Browns trivia. How we doing, Jake?
What's up, fellas? And, yeah, we took care of your dad, I think, yesterday, last week. I tell him we appreciate it, of course. We always appreciate the business. But I don't know about much of a closet Browns fans, because I'll come out and say it. I think the Browns are going to beat the Steelers.
I think the Browns are going to cover. How about that? Okay. 4.5?
No. Okay.
No way.
Okay.
No way.
Long flight from London, though.
Who's a
I don't. I mean, you, I have. They got a running back, boys.
Why are you Browns a Browns fan? Why? Who in anybody's right mind would want to be a Browns fan if you didn't live in Cleveland?
So he texted me this yesterday in 2011. He was so done with Tomlin that he wanted to change allegiances, which that's one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. We love you, Jake, but like, why don't you pick the Chiefs?
Yeah, right.
Why don't you pick the Bills? Why don't you pick the Patriots?
I run it. It's part of the troll factor also, guys. It's the troll factor. You know, I like the troll, and that's me. So, you know, that's a part of it.
Very good. All right.
All right.
Hit us with some
Browns Steelers trivia. Let's get after it. First question here, guys. Let's go. In the 2002 AFC wildcard game, the Steelers came back from a 17-point deficit to beat the Browns, 36-33. Who had the game-winning touchdown? A, Dan Kreider. B, Terrence Mathis. C, Jeremy Tooman. Or D, Chris Fumatamalafala. And I can tell Crowley knows it because he's smirking over there.
Yeah, it's Chris Fumatamalafala. Also the first game that Renegade was ever played at Acrisure Stadium.
Okay. Bonus points? Maybe?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. That's pretty good. All right. Yeah, you got that one. I'm happy for you.
There we go.
Dennis Northcutt couldn't get out of bounds.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I threw an air ball up there, boys. I figured you were going to know that one. But the next two, I don't know.
Let's
You might not. All right. Unless you did your homework last night, Crowley, because I kind of told you it was going to be Steelers-Browns trivia. What is the Steelers and Browns all-time record, rivalry record against each other? Crowley. A, 78-68-1 Steelers. B, 78-68-1 Browns. D, or C, 82-64-1 Steelers. Or D, 79-59-1 Steelers.
50-50?
Yep.
50-50.
50-50, okay. Let's go. C, 82-64-1. D, 79-59-1.
I think we got to go C.
Yep.
The Steelers have won 20 consecutive games at home in the regular season against the Browns. If they don't have it into the 80s, I'd be shocked on that.
C is correct.
Great job. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. That's some old school trash talk there. You don't hear a lot of that these days.
That's Austin Powers.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's just do the last one for fun. Maybe you won't know this one. Maybe I'll leave with some sort of dignity. I don't know. Jesus. What is the Steelers' longest winning streak against the Browns? Hmm. Such as games without a loss to the Browns.
Yes, thank you.
A. Just wanted to make sure. Sometimes I guess I word questions confusing. So, A, 12, B, 10, C, 7, or D, 15. And these are games without a loss to the Browns.
Man.
I don't know.
10?
Yeah, sure.
Ask Callis. Might as well ask
Callis. What do you think?
Well, I know that the Steelers are undefeated against them for a while when they got into the league. There's two games per season. 10 makes sense.
All right. Thank you for just confirming what Doran said. 10.
Okay, the correct answer is A, 12. Mm. And Callis was on, and I mean, it was 2003 to 2009 they had that streak of 12. So that was a nice call by him, even though he had the wrong answer.
Jake, you're a gentleman and a scholar and a plumber. Thank you for your time, and we will talk to you next Tuesday.
We will see you then. Go Browns.
Yeah, okay.
Thanks, Jake. Go Browns. Like, who, like?
That'd be like being a New York Yankees fan. And then one day being like, you know what? I'm ticked off. I'm going to be a Pirates fan.
Yeah.
to go from Steelers to the Browns?
Well, not even. It'd be like if you wanted to be like a Red Sox fan or a Rays fan because it's in division.
Yeah, that's true too. Somebody texted into the text line, "I'm here, babe. I love you."
Nice.
So they're either a massive fan of the show and dropping off some food or gifts, or that is the wrong number.
Are we actually going to order breakfast one day?
You guys hungry today?
Let's do it Friday. Friday. You say it every Friday and you don't do it.
I'm not that hungry today. I had a power bar.
I said Friday.
I know.
You say it every Friday. You don't do it.
Mm-hmm. We'll do it this Friday. Maybe Jake will bring us one of them breakfast pizzas.
That's not us ordering it, though. No. It's just hoping that something happens.
Right.
He's like, oh, we should act on this. And then you just sit there and hope.
Isn't that better? Top of the hour. Trey Essex joins for his weekly spot, talking about the Steelers and where things go after the bye. Coming up next, a little bit more on Browns Steelers. I said I think the Browns will cover. I lied. Tell you why. 50-minute mark on the Fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township. Our guy Trey Essex is going to be joining us in 10 minutes. Texter writes in and asks, is Locke and Flora coming on today? I decided to listen to some of his afternoon shows so I could revel in their misery, and it didn't disappoint. They are in hell. At one point, Locke and Flora suggested trading for Tomlin. How about that? Yes, we are talking to Jason at 9:35 this morning, and we'll ask him probably one question, and then he'll rip the Ravens to shreds.
Correct.
I will say this about Tomlin, and I heard Donnie Football make this point yesterday. When Tomlin and that Ben, they still win games. Right? Duck Hodges, Mason Rudolph, Kenny Pickett, Mitch Trubisky, Russell Wilson, Justin Fields, and Justin Fields can't buy a win right now, and Russell Wilson got benched. Meanwhile, you take Lamar Jackson away from the Ravens, and they're the worst team in football right now.
Mm-hmm.
You take Joe Burrow away from the Bengals, and Donnie had this stat. They're 4-31-1 without Joe Burrow. Now, they were real bad before Burrow got there, so you throw some of that out. But you got to find a way to stay afloat without your quarterback. And Tomlin has always done that. Harry, during the last break, screamed into our ears, boobs! And I look up to my right, and what is it? Final Destination was on the TV.
Mm-hmm.
There will never be a time in my life, and I will fully admit this, where someone screams boobs and points, and I won't look.
I think that's probably about 98% of, well, 90%.
I think so.
Well, the lady was having intercourse as well, which made it extra interesting, but we didn't get to see the band's privates.
Mm.
What a...
You were hoping to see that?
What a bizarre addendum there.
Mm.
What a weird thing to include at the end of that sentence.
That was very weird. Mm. Okay.
Never in my life, though, will someone shout that and point, and I know, don't go. And that was the best part of my morning so far. And it's been a wonderful morning.
See, horror movies are great.
Horror.
What was the movie where the two were having intercourse and the dude got punctured with a pitchfork?
Halloween 5.
Yeah, we saw that last year on the TV, too.
Yeah, you did the same thing. Boobs! And I looked, and then someone got brutally murdered while having intercourse.
Mm-hmm.
It was during the show.
Wait, did we do odds and ends?
We didn't do the results. No, you guys were too busy talking yesterday. No, that's your job, though. I get it, Crowley. Don't make that face.
Go ahead, then.
All right. So, they're on the wall. In third place, with 5 out of a possible 13, Callis. Second place, Doran with 6. Crowley got 7, including 5 consecutive at the end to pull it away.
I'm like the Jags. So, come back, kids. Duval.
And because Jaylen Warren didn't play in the Steeler game against the Vikings with that technicality, Crowley now has a 2-game lead over me and Doran.
Oh, I'm so back.
3 wins for Crowley, 1 win for each Doran and myself.
And you didn't see the man's penis.
I didn't say the word penis. I'd prefer the word dong.
What?
If we're
dong. All right. That is sophomoric, and we're not going to allow that kind of humor on the show.
Man.
This is from a number one fan of the Fan Morning Show, Zig, who writes, golden rule, never have sex in a horror movie. It does seem to be that if you're doing it, at some point you're getting it.
Yes.
Hey, you are definitely going to go. You have your one last moment of, hey, I'm alive and life is great. And then you get your head lopped off or something.
Well, that started with Friday the 13th because that's how Jason died, was the counselors were supposed to be watching him. He was a young child and he had special needs and he drowned while they were fornicating. So that's like the premise of Friday the 13th, is anybody who fornicates gets it.
You know, in modern times, instead of that happening, you just would sue the camp. You would take them for all they're worth.
It was Jason's mom's camp.
I'm wrong.
I believe.
I just got a text message.
Yeah.
I'm not going to read it, but.
Was it from Craig?
No.
Did he say quit saying dong?
He didn't. Somebody else said dong, though, and it wasn't.
All right.
It wasn't Craig. But to get psychological, too, I mean, when you're doing it, it is a very vulnerable position that you're in, and you're not thinking about, you know, who could attack you in that moment. It's,
yeah,
it's supposed to be a safe space.
Yeah, no kidding. Absolutely right.
That would be, well,
there are worse ways to go.
There's worse ways to go, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, you could make a spoof movie where you have people do it intentionally, but they're always on alert. So then when the person comes to try to kill them, like, there's a knife, you know, somewhere that you could just pull out.
Somewhere, huh?
That you could do what?
Don't worry about it. Coming up next, Trey Essex. He'll get us back on track. The Ravens are staring 1-5 in the face. The Chiefs got Detroit. They could be 2-4. The Bills just lost. Is the AFC up for grabs, and are the Steelers in a position to take advantage? We'll talk to Trey about that, among other things, when we come back. But first, Fan Weather is brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. It's been 10 consecutive days of dryness. Today it rains. High is 70, low is 64. We needed that rain.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.